Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Explained in context, "Be still and know that I am God" is often printed over quiet lakes and peaceful mountains. It can become an invitation to slow your breathing, release anxious thoughts, and sit silently before God. Those practices may be wise, yet Psalm 46:10 was not first spoken into a quiet landscape. It comes after roaring seas, shaking mountains, raging nations, collapsing kingdoms, and weapons broken in war. That setting does not take comfort away from the verse. It makes the comfort sturdier. Psalm 46 does not ask us to pretend that life is calm. It announces that God is present when the world is not calm, and it commands every power that resists God's life-giving rule to stop. So what does "be still and know that I am God" mean? In context, it means something like cease, let go, and recognize who God is. It is a summons to stop frantic resistance, release the illusion of control, and acknowledge God's rule over the nations and the earth. For a frightened worshiper, that command becomes an invitation to trust. For violent powers, it sounds like a warning to lay down their weapons. The same words confront and comfort, because the God who ends striving is also our refuge and strength. Begin with the whole psalm, not the wall art. Psalm 46 opens with a confession. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. The community does not say there is no trouble. It says God is found in it. The first movement imagines creation coming undone. The earth changes, mountains fall into the sea, waters roar and foam. Mountains and seas usually mark the stable boundaries of the world, but here even those boundaries fail. Still the worshippers say, "We will not fear," Psalm 46:2. Their courage is not positive thinking. It rests on the character and presence of God. The second movement shifts from natural upheaval to political upheaval. Nations rage and kingdoms totter, but God speaks and the earth melts. In the middle stands a city made glad by a river. Jerusalem has no great natural river like the Nile or Euphrates. The image is theological. God's own presence gives life and stability where chaos threatens. Then a refrain appears. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Psalm 46:7. It returns at the end in Psalm 46:11. The repeated line is the psalm's handhold. The word and world study of Psalm 46's structure notes that the poem's form repeatedly brings readers back to God as refuge. The threats move, God's presence holds. Only after all of this do we reach "be still." The verse is not an isolated technique for private calm. It is the climax of a communal song about God's reign amid real disorder. What does the Hebrew word for "be still" mean? The command translated "be still" comes from the Hebrew verb rapha. Its range includes becoming slack, letting drop, relaxing, abandoning, or refraining. The Blue Letter Bible lexicon entry for rapha shows that context can turn the same root toward weakness, release, or cessation. In Psalm 46:10, the form is a plural command. It addresses more than one person. The surrounding lines matter. Psalm 46:9 says that God makes wars cease, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the instruments of war. Then comes the command. This makes stop, cease, let go, or desist more natural than an instruction simply to create internal silence. The Jewish Publication Society translation displayed with the Hebrew text on Sepharia's psalm, 46 page, begins the verse with "desist." That translation captures the force of an authoritative interruption. a working preacher commentary from Luther Seminary, similarly explains that the root here likely means stop or refrain from. This does not mean the familiar English wording is false. Be still can mean stop moving or cease what you are doing, not merely feel serene. The problem comes when we shrink the command into a mood. The Hebrew asks for surrender, not ambiance. Who is God telling to stop? Interpreters differ over the immediate audience, and the psalm does not add a label such as God says to the nations. Several details suggest that the raging nations are especially in view. Warfare fills the preceding line. The command is plural, and God immediately declares, "I will be exalted among the nations," Psalm 46:10. On this reading, God confronts human powers. Stop fighting, drop your weapons, and recognize the one whose rule reaches the whole earth. Other readers hear the command addressed more broadly, to the worshiping community, to all peoples, or even poetically to the whole creation in uproar. Rolf Jacobson's academic study of the psalm describes God's voice breaking into the noise and calling creation to cease defying the Creator's life-giving will. These readings need not cancel one another. The nations are part of the world the psalm summons before God, while Israel sings the command and learns from it. The oppressor hears, "Stop!" The fearful community hears, "You do not have to save the world by becoming another violent power." Every listener hears, "Know that I am God." That final clause is decisive. Stillness is not the ultimate goal. Knowledge of God is. The command removes what keeps us from acknowledging reality. God is God, we are not, and no kingdom, disaster, army, or fear can finally take God's place. Know that I am God is recognition, not mere information. The psalm is not asking readers to learn a new fact. The worshipers already know Israel's God by name. To know here is to recognize, acknowledge, and live in light of who God is. The rest of Psalm 46 supplies the content of that knowledge. God is a refuge, not a distant spectator. God is present with us, not available only after trouble passes. God speaks with authority over nature and nations. God opposes war and destroys its tools. God will be exalted beyond one city or people throughout the earth. Knowing God, therefore, changes posture. Hands unclench, weapons fall. Fear loses its claim to command us. The community can act faithfully without believing everything depends on its control. This is different from passivity. Psalm 46 does not tell victims to remain silent before abuse, citizens to ignore injustice, or disciples to avoid peacemaking. The God praised here makes wars cease. Surrender to that God should loosen our partnership with violence, not our commitment to truth and neighbor love. Micah 6:8 joins humble walking with doing justice and loving mercy. Biblical trust can be deeply active while refusing frantic self-sovereignty. Is Psalm 46:10 about anxiety and quiet prayer? Not directly in its first setting. The verse addresses cosmic and political turmoil more clearly than an individual's racing thoughts. We should not claim that Rapha secretly means stop worrying, nor should we use the verse as a promise that faithful people will always feel calm. But it can still speak faithfully to anxiety when we bring the whole psalm with it. The movement is not empty your mind and manufacture peace. It is. Name the trouble honestly. Remember that God is present within it. Release the demand to be sovereign. Rehearse who God is. Take the next faithful step without obeying fear. That is why quiet prayer can be a fitting response, even if quietness is not the complete lexical meaning. Silence gives us room to stop rehearsing our imagined control. and attend to God's presence. Psalm 37:7 uses different Hebrew wording when it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Scripture does commend patient, quiet waiting. We simply should not make Psalm 46:10 say only that. Jesus' stilling of the storm also echoes the pattern without erasing the psalm's own context. The disciples face waves and fear. Jesus rebukes the sea. Then he asks why they are afraid. Mark 4:39-40. The point is not that storms are imaginary. It is that the Lord's presence changes what fear is allowed to rule. Three distortions to avoid. Turning the verse into a wellness slogan. Rest, breath, and silence are gifts. But the verse is larger than stress reduction. It concerns God's rule, the end of war, and the surrender of false power. A calming practice that never changes how we treat enemies or vulnerable neighbors has not yet heard the psalm's public horizon, using "be still" to silence suffering people. This command should never become "stop grieving," "do not question," or "accept what someone is doing to you." The psalms themselves contain protest, lament, and urgent cries for rescue. Psalm 46 silences the forces of chaos and violence. It does not shame honest prayer. Treating surrender as doing nothing. To admit that God is God is not to abandon responsibility. It is to act without claiming God's throne. We can seek counsel, make repairs, protect someone in danger, tell the truth, and pursue peace. What we release is the fantasy that coercion, panic, or perfect control will save us. A practice for praying, Psalm 46:10 in context. Read the entire psalm slowly. Then try these four movements. Name what is roaring. Put honest words to the instability around you. Grief, conflict, a diagnosis, a threatened relationship, public violence, or uncertainty you cannot solve. Do not minimize it. The psalm does not minimize mountains falling into seas. Repeat the refrain. Say Psalm 46:7 aloud. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Notice that it says us. If possible, pray with another person or remember a community carrying the burden with you. Ask what must cease. Is there a weapon you are reaching for? Contempt, manipulation, compulsive checking, retaliation, denial, or the need to control another person? Be still may mean letting that weapon drop. If another person is harming you, the thing that must cease is not your truthful resistance. Seek safety and wise help. Choose one faithful action. After surrender, take one concrete step consistent with God's peace. Apologize, ask for help, set a boundary, give practical care, pray for an enemy, or rest before making a fearful decision. Let trust produce obedience rather than paralysis. The comfort is God's presence. What does "be still and know that I am God" mean? It does not mean that faithful people must feel untroubled. It means that amid the roar of creation and nations, God commands striving powers to cease and calls everyone to recognize His rule. The Hebrew carries the force of stopping, releasing, and letting go. The psalm's own images point especially toward the end of violence and the surrender of control. For the fearful, this is profoundly comforting. The burden of being God was never ours. The God who speaks over chaos is not absent from the people. The refrain says He is with us. Our stillness is therefore not empty. It is the posture of creatures who can stop clutching at sovereignty because they have found a refuge. Read Psalm 46:10 beside Psalm 46:1 and Psalm 46:11. The command rests between two declarations of presence. Trouble is real. God is near. Weapons will not have the last word. we may let go, know who God is, and step back into the world as people formed by His peace. This article was written and narrated by Ezra, Feason's editorial study assistant. Ezra is an AI.